Coming up on KUCB News, what happens next after the FCC's trip to Unalaska, and who's lobbying Senator Murkowski as she weighs her vote on Trump's pick for the Supreme Court. Stay tuned.
Programming on KUCB is made possible by Redfish Electronics. Located in the airport cargo building, Redfish sells computers, Androids, iPhones, iPads, televisions, headphones, and unlocked phones. Business hours can be obtained by calling 359-2205.
Redfish, we got stuff.
Good afternoon. You're listening to KUCB 89.7 FM on Alaska. I'm Laura Craigle with some local news on Wednesday, August 8th, 2018. Unalaskans are fed up with the slow internet and dropped calls that define the island's telecommunications. Brendan Carr said he got that message loud and clear yesterday during his one-day visit for the Federal Communications Commission, but it's unlikely his trip will produce concrete changes anytime soon. In his first year as an FCC commissioner, Brendan Carr has traveled to 17 different states to learn how lacking broadband and spotty phone service can hold back rural communities. But he says Unalaska still managed to surprise him.
When we landed, I turned my phone off airplane mode and it said no service, which was something that I had never seen on my phone.
At a packed public reception, Unalaskans took the opportunity to throw out dozens of examples of the way their lives are affected by slow, inconsistent services.
I know for a fact I've lost about a half dozen customers because they couldn't get a hold of me.
Our internet budget is nearly a quarter of our operating budget.
It takes at least 50% longer here on the island to do a forklift training program.
That's testimony from Mike Lloyd, Karen Kresh, and Alan Davis. But Carr says he heard the same complaints over and over again, from seafood processors and the school district to tugboat captains and city officials, and he agreed that his agency needs to help. Still, the commissioner was noncommittal when Unalaskans pressed him for a timeline.
This has been a great learning opportunity to hear firsthand some of the unique challenges. And again, there's not going to be a silver bullet, but there is a lot that we can take back.
In general, Carr says the FCC is looking at ways to roll back regulations and encourage private investment in rural areas. Some telecom companies are already considering how to improve service in Unalaska. Quintillion has spoken with local leaders about fiber optic cable, and GCI has even surveyed the island. But company officials say construction would take years if they decide to go through with it. Unalaskans weren't happy with such an up-in-the-air agenda, with several citing GCI's lucrative federal subsidies. Emmett Fitch is the CEO of Optimera Wi-Fi, and he says his smaller, locally grown company could provide a better option.
This is 2018. It shouldn't take 5 years to do it. You know, we could have it online a year from now if we had the same funding.
Carr says the FCC is always considering ways to allocate its grant money more effectively and would love to see more competition in Alaska. But the commissioner declined to get into specifics when island residents asked if the agency could help finance a fiber project. Unalaska is losing its Legislative Information Office, one of the 23 LIO offices around the state that link constituents with their lawmakers. This week, the Alaska Legislative Council approved a proposal to close the island's LIO, while another proposal to keep statewide offices open on Friday afternoons fell short. Senator Anna McKinnon voted to close the Unalaska office, and the Eagle River Republican was also against adding hours for the others.
I'm concerned that we're still in a budget deficit and that these are reoccurring expenses on the operating budget. And while I think the closure is a good recommendation, I have a hard time supporting adding full time.
The proposals came from the nonpartisan Legislative Affairs Agency, which had recommended the state use savings from Unalaska's closure to keep the other LIOs open on Friday afternoons when the legislature is out of session. Lawmakers voted to cut back Friday hours just over 2 years ago. And while Unalaska was the most recent office to open in 2011, residents did not make much use of it. This year, there was not a single person who testified from the Unalaska LIO located near the Safeway grocery store. And in a separate action, the council voted to pay nearly $1 million for a new electronic system to track legislators' votes during the floor sessions. The old system was outdated and failing, according to the legislative agency. The U.S. Coast Guard rescued a commercial fisherman yesterday after he was hit in the head by a crab pot. Officials say the crew member was struck while the FV Patricia Lee was fishing for golden king crab 190 miles west of Unalaska. Air Station Kodiak sent two Jayhawk helicopter crews and an HC-130 aircraft to hoist the 27-year-old man from the vessel. He was transported to Cold Bay and then Unalaska for emergency medical care. Officials say he was in stable condition. Southwest Alaska is full of tough women who practice subsistence, but social and environmental changes increasingly threaten that way of life. KDLG's Austin Fast has more on a new project that's trying to preserve the experience of Alaska Native women who set net in Bristol Bay.
The world could go to hell, but Alaska Natives would survive, 70-year-old Connie Timmerman tells me. She wants her grandsons and granddaughters to know how their ancestors subsisted from Bristol Bay's land and sea.
Us women, we could do anything. It's tough life, but you could do it if you set mind to it, and I truly believe that. We're capable just as much as our men are. And it's a good companionship. That way I think it's healthier. You work together.
Connie was one of a dozen Alaska Native women that researchers working with NOAA Fisheries interviewed last June in Dillingham, Naknek, and Togiak. They returned this month to interview another handful of women and preserve their oral histories for future generations. The researchers presented their results and four videos at the Bristol Bay Native Association in Dillingham.
There's not much that's out there, particularly in Alaska. So
Anna Lavoie researched small-scale fisheries in Brazil before coming to Alaska. She says Bristol Bay stands out because, compared to other places, more set net permit holders here are women, almost a third altogether.
We've seen that they play really important roles in family and community well-being, in passing on knowledge to generations and in maintaining that within communities.
Lavoie's research team allowed the women being interviewed to direct the conversation and share their personal experiences. They noticed the interviews they've gathered all seem to touch on several common themes, themes like women's knowledge and leadership, social cohesion, environmental change, and identity and a sense of place. This last one, a sense that fishing is just who they are as Alaska Native women, it pervades many of the interviews. Gayla Hossett is BBNA's Director of Natural Resources. She sums it up well at the end of her interview.
You know, it's who we are. I don't know. I don't know how to really say it, because growing up with it, it's not something that I just learned. It's something that's always been with me. It's a part of who I am.
Bristol Bay may be enjoying an exceptionally strong salmon run this year, but many of the women interviewed express concern for the future. Climate change is bringing warmer winters, and coastal erosion is threatening setnet operations. With all these threats in mind, researcher Kim Sparks says she's honored to help preserve knowledge of this traditional way of life.
It just hits me every time, the deep connection these women have to their resources and to their families, and how this isn't just like something they talk about. This is like their livelihood, this is their life, and it's just such a privilege to hear these stories.
Lavoie says funding's always tight, but she's hopeful the research team can return to Bristol Bay next summer and beyond to preserve more oral histories from Alaska Native women. You can listen to the interviews by searching online for Voices from the Fisheries from NOAA. In Dillingham, I'm Austin Fast.
The political arm of the National Rifle Association is running a TV ad in Alaska urging Senator Lisa Murkowski to confirm President Donald Trump's nominee for the Supreme Court. It's part of a national and regional advertising campaign, but the NRA isn't the only group trying to influence Murkowski. Healthcare advocacy group Protect Our Care is running ads calling for a no vote on Brett Kavanaugh. Planned Parenthood is also advocating that Murkowski vote to reject him. The senator's position as a Republican who has voiced support for reproductive rights and who sometimes votes against her party makes her a key vote in the confirmation process. Before she decides, though, Murkowski says she wants to meet with Kavanaugh and speak in detail on various issues. She also plans to review his decisions and writings off the bench, listen to his responses to Senate Judiciary Committee members, and consider the views of Alaskans. Her fellow Alaska Republican Senator Dan Sullivan, however, already plans to support Kavanaugh. And that's the news from Unalaska. I'm Laura Craigle, and you're listening to KUCB 89.7 FM. Find us online at kucb.org, and please stay tuned for your local and marine weather forecasts.